Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
This morning, we are continuing a series entitled Encouragement from the book of 2 Timothy in the New Testament. So if you have your Bible, start finding your way to the book of 2 Timothy. And encouragement, we looked last week, is this word. It means the act of putting courage in. And so what Paul was doing was he was encouraging his protege, Timothy. And Timothy needed encouragement just like we need encouragement. We need courage for the days that we live in to deal with the things that we have before us. Sometimes we get in a situation in our life where we go through kind of a rough season, even a season where we feel like some of the people that were closest to us are far from us and have deserted us. All of us get to those spots where it feels like we're alone. We're having a struggle, and we're having to go through it alone. And certainly Paul found himself in that situation because he's in a Roman jail. He's down in the dungeon, chained to a soldier, chained to a guard. And he is in this spot where he feels like all of his friends in ministry have deserted him. But it's in the midst of that situation that Paul takes it upon himself to write a letter to Timothy for the purpose of encouraging him. And that's striking to me that Paul is in this desperate situation. He will receive this death sentence, and he will not come out of this prison. His life is pretty much over, but he takes the time to write this letter to Timothy to encourage him. And that's striking to me that he can do that. And so we're going to look at this passage of scripture found towards the end of 2 Timothy chapter 1. So open your Bible up to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse 15 as Paul is speaking these words of encouragement to Timothy. If you found your place, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. And again, we're reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Paul says, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus." Then in chapter 2, Paul continues, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this." Then verse 8 says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. May God richly bless his word today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture and the encouragement that it contains. Father, as we look at this passage, I pray for those listening that they would find courage for the days and the situations that they are in, even at this very moment. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we look forward to what you're going to do, and we give you praise even in advance for speaking to our hearts. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you have your study guide that you received when you came in. We're going to look at this passage, and we're going to see some interesting things that will be a source of encouragement for you. Notice first in this passage that Paul, this is a continuation of the passage that we looked at last week when Paul encouraged Timothy to be strong in the Lord, that God had not given us a spirit of timidity or of fear, but one of power, love, and self-control. And it's in that vein now that he uses these two groups to show a positive example and a negative example. The first thing that he does is he shows the negative example of someone that is ashamed of him, someone that has turned his back on him, when he mentions these two guys, Phygellus and Hermogenes, when he says, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me," including these two guys. And so the Apostle Paul was in a situation of ministry, and he had been arrested again. And this time he wasn't on house arrest. He was in a dungeon, and he was chained to one of the guards. And he was in this place of isolation. He was in this place of loneliness. And it's in that spot that he finds out who really is on his side and who is not. And Phygellus and Hermogenes are associates of his. Paul had ministered in Ephesus and other places as he was on his missionary journeys, and he had many, many partners in ministry along the way. But these two people, he singles out and mentions them by name, that they have, and listen to this word that he uses, they have deserted him. And we can relate to Paul in this because we all have friends and supporters along the way that seem like they were on our side, seem like they were with us, but then all of a sudden something happens and they're no longer. And it's very easy to feel deserted, and it's very easy to feel isolated and having to go through things on our own. But it goes quickly on from describing these two to describe this next one found in verses 16 and following when he says, "May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." And so in this man, Paul had found someone that was with him, someone that was a refreshing element in his life and supported him. And it goes on to say that how when he was in Rome, he was looking for Paul and where he was imprisoned, and it was difficult for him to find Paul, but he kept looking and he finally found Paul, and they were reunited, and he was able to encourage the Apostle Paul in that, to where when he gets down to verse number 18, he says, "May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know how very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus." What Paul had in his friend Onesiphorus was someone that supported him and someone that wasn't a fair weather friend. And a fair weather friend means someone that when things are going well and you're on top of everything, they're with you, they're right there with you, and they're saying, "Go for it," and they're sharing in your victories. But the fair weather friend is the person that disappears when things get tough. And things were tough for Paul in this moment right here. And I want to make a couple observations about what Paul does in this passage of scripture. And again, his purpose of writing to Timothy is to give him courage, to tell him that he has what it takes to be faithful to the Lord, to give encourage. That act of putting courage in is what Paul is doing. And so he uses this passage of scripture to do it. But notice how large the passage of Scripture is that talks about the faithful and how small the one is that talks about the unfaithful. I know that Paul could have gone on and he could have elaborated about the other people that had deserted him and the other people that had not been faithful to Paul in his time of need, but he chooses not to. He uses just this short phrase, a short description. He does name these two people, but he spends a lot more time talking about Onesiphorus, who is faithful to him, and he's praying that God would bless him for his faithfulness. And listen, that shows me and that shows us something that's very important. It's good for us to focus on what we have and the ways that God has blessed us rather than focusing on the need that we have, rather than focusing on the negative. Have you ever noticed that some people respond to a situation that they're in one of two ways, either in a positive way or in a negative way? And see, in this passage of Scripture, Paul knows who is on his side and who's not, but he spends more time talking about Onesiphorus because he's been faithful. And again, the purpose of 2 Timothy is to encourage Timothy. You see, the truth is that people will always disappoint and people are going to let us down at different times, but Jesus never will. And Jesus will also raise up people in our lives that will be with us through the thick and the thin of things. That will be with us not just during the good times when everything's going well, but he'll raise up people to come alongside us, and this will be fewer in number, but to come alongside of us that'll be with us when we experience loss, when we experience defeat, when we go through those hard seasons of life that we all go through. People will always disappoint us, but Jesus never will, and he will raise up people that will be with us and that will be faithful friends. And number one there on your message notes is remember faithful friends and focus on the people that God has brought into your life that are faithful to you rather than focusing your attention on the negative. Because if we're talking about gaining courage, encouragement, we're not going to find encouragement by just listing all the people that have forsaken us. We're not going to find encouragement by looking at the negative part of life. We're going to look at God's faithfulness, and we're going to find courage for that. And we need to remember faithful friends. But this short passage of Scripture also brings up a question, and it's a matter of reflection, and it's a matter of the type of person that you want to be. And I wonder, as a person, do you want to be a person like Onesiphorus that was there for his friend Paul and went the extra mile and found him and ministered to him? Or do you want to be that fair weather friend that is there for you when it's going good and then disappears when times get hard? It's a choice that you have to make. I was reflecting on this, and over the years of ministry, Carol and I have been in ministry 20 plus years, and there has been times of great friendship with the people that we've ministered to, but there's also been times that we felt deserted. But I can look back over our ministry over these 20 plus years, and God always had friends for us. God always had supporters for us that had our back, even when it was difficult. And I'm so thankful for that. But listen, that's just not for a ministry couple like Carol and myself. That's for each one of us in here. We can think back over our lives and we can remember that friend, even that friend that we didn't think was that close, that was there for us when things got tough. We can be thankful for that person. And you have to answer the question, what kind of person do you want to be? And I hope that you want to be the friend that sticks with your friend and the person that you're ministering with, your church members, your fellow church members, that you would be there for them in good times and in bad times. So we have to remember faithful friends. The next thing there in this passage, starting in chapter 2, is we have to remember the source of our strength. And this is really important because if we're going to be faithful to the gospel and faithful to do what God's called us to do, it's going to be when we remember the source of our strength. And the source of our strength does not come from within. That's a very humanistic, very new age movement kind of thing, to look within ourselves. The answer is within ourselves. Our power for our life is within ourselves, and it's positive thinking, and it's building ourselves up. Listen, the heart is deceitful, and the answer is not within ourselves. Listen, if we look within ourselves, we're going to make a mess out of everything that we're involved in. But when we look to our source, which is Jesus Christ, for the strength that we need and the wisdom for life, then we will find what we need. Listen to this passage again here in chapter 2. It says, "You then, my son," and it's his son in the faith, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." This strength that Paul is talking about does not come from within Timothy or in his circumstance. It comes through the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And so that life-changing grace that Timothy had experienced is the source of his strength. And then after he mentions that, he uses some illustrations. He talks about the steward of what God's blessed them with. In verse 2 it says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Listen, we see that present in the life of our church, that in the life of our church there have been Sunday school teachers and leaders that were faithful to guard the message that they received and also to pass it on to us. And now is our time that we teach and that we preach and we honor the message and we protect the message and we train up those that are coming behind us, our students and young adults, so that they can take up the mantle of the message and be faithful for the long haul. This is the plan of God, that the truth of God would continue after generation because of faithful people that have guarded the truth and faithful people that have passed it on. This is the reliability of a steward. And then he goes on to talk about a soldier. In verse 3, where he says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." And this is particularly relevant here on Memorial Day weekend, that we think about a soldier. And then he says in verse 4, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." And here we see the focus of a soldier. And the focus of a soldier is on the task and is on what the commander has given them to do, not on what they want themselves, not on what they feel is right or wrong, but listening to the commanding officer. And for us, we are soldiers of Christ Jesus. And we look to him to guide us. We look to him for strength. It's really something to this idea of a soldier, especially here on Memorial Day weekend. And in a moment, we're going to show a video. And this video is a testimony of some soldiers that guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. In Arlington, Virginia, there is a tomb where soldiers that are unknown to us are entombed. And they are guarded by this special guard of soldiers 24 hours a day. And here in July, we have a group of students going to Student Leadership University. And one of the really special things that we'll do while we're on that trip is that our group, Student Leadership University, will lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And so watch this video as we think about a soldier and how focused they are, and think also about how we should be focused on what Jesus wants from us. So watch this video.
enlisted in the Army out of patriotism. I ever since I was young, I always wanted to serve my country and serve in the military.
I always had toys. I always reenacted little battles in my backyard.
I felt a drive or a need to go serve. Something that, you know, less than 1% of the country raises their hand and says, hey, you know, I want to go do that.
I actually came here in 8th grade and saw changing of the guard. I had no expectations of being a sentinel to the unknown soldier. I enlisted in infantry. I expected to go to a regular infantry unit. And once I got the opportunity to come to the old guard and I knew that the tomb was a part of it, I immediately decided that that's something I wanted to do.
I came down here for a changing of the guard one day. And I came and I seen that this was something that I wanted to do. I knew this was bigger than myself. I knew that I would serve a purpose here.
Down here at the tomb, you usually go through 6 to 9 months of training. It's self-paced, so depending on how well you learn your knowledge or how fast you learn your knowledge, how well you can learn to put together a uniform, all the measurements on the uniform are within 1/64 of an inch.
You learn to shine your shoes with Kiwi and water. You also build every single thing that's on your uniform.
And then as well as, you know, outside portion, learning how to do the weapons inspection or learning how to walk, you know, keeping everything within a 21-second count.
The unknowns gave everything they had for us, so we believe that it's the least we can do to demand perfection out of ourselves when we're honoring them.
What we do down here means a lot to a lot of people, and we carry that on ourselves a lot. We know what we do, and we strive to be perfect just because of it.
Perfection is our standard, and knowing in the back of my mind that that's an unattainable goal, I mean, but you want to get as close to it as you can.
You work 24-hour shifts. When you're out there at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, it can get pretty trying. You have to stay awake and, you know, walk around and get real cold or get real hot, so you have to really dig deep and find that motivation.
I stood guard during Hurricane Irene. I remember just standing there. I could feel the wind just pushing, like every time we would change shoulders, I could feel that wind was trying to take that weapon from me. But as long as you stood there and knew what you were trained to do.
You know, this is crazy. I got trees blowing around to my left and right, and I'm standing here, you know, and then that's when you got to dig deep and remember why you're standing there.
You have that humbleness instilled in you that you want to do the job no matter the conditions, because those unknowns gave their life, and the little you could give to them is the fact that you can stand out there and take a little bit of discomfort. I had a buddy that just lost his life in Afghanistan a week ago. I first got the news, it hadn't settled in, but it made me that day especially, my drive, my motivation to do what I do here really stood out. And I knew that if anything, I could do it for him because he was a very close friend of mine. And I don't know every soldier, but I know every soldier gives every single thing they've got to do this job that we do. And it means something to me.
Currently, the tomb says known but to God, because that's where they, you know, who they're known to by right now, because we don't know who they are. But I'm hoping someday when I pass on, you know, many, many years from now, that I'll get to know their names. I think a lot of people look at more material objects in life than they do what you've done and what you've accomplished. And it isn't really like what you've accomplished, as far as you don't have to be, you know, a big rock star or a football player, but just be who you are. The fact that you can go out there and touch someone's life, or you can go out there and just with a simple change of a guard, you know, you can inspire somebody or touch somebody emotionally and know that you've connected. At one point, you had to step out from being a kid. You couldn't be, you know, underneath mom and dad's wing anymore. You eventually had to be your own self, and the military has definitely helped me mature and develop myself into the man. And like I said, every day I'm getting challenged more and more, and hopefully I'm doing a good job becoming a good man. I feel I am. The Sentinel's Creed.
My dedication to this sacred duty is total and wholehearted.
In the responsibility bestowed on me, never will I falter.
And with dignity and perseverance, my standard will remain perfection.
Through the years of diligence and praise and the discomfort of the elements,
I will walk my tour in humble reverence.
To the best of my ability. It is he who commands the respect I protect, his bravery that made us so proud.
Surrounded by well-meaning crowds by day, alone in the thoughtful peace of night,
This soldier
will in honor and glory rest under my eternal vigilance.
These soldiers that guard the tomb of the unknown soldier are a testament of the focus of a soldier. They're there for a specific reason, and they're working very hard to be faithful to the thing that God has called them or that their commander has called them to do, just like we should have the same focus of a soldier in doing what God has commanded us to do. I'm looking forward to standing there with our students this summer at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. He goes on, Paul does, in this passage to talk about the dedication of an athlete. When he says, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. See, for an athlete, there are rules and there are guidelines and there are boundaries that they have to stay within. And the dedication of an athlete who trains hard, that dedicates themselves to a sport or an event, and then has to stay within those rules. And this is great. We have the reliability of a steward. We have the focus of a soldier. We have the dedication of an athlete. And then there's also the discipline of a farmer that's listed here in verse 6, where it says, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. And he finishes this section when he says, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. And one thing that I've learned from some of our farmers, even within our congregation, is that farming is a year-round task. And it takes discipline for a farmer to know when to plow the fields, when to plant, and when to irrigate, and when to harvest. That's all. It takes dedication. And this passage says that they should be the first to receive part of the harvest from their faithfulness. And so what Paul is doing is using these examples that Timothy would have a very good understanding of to remind him that the source of his strength is Jesus, and because Jesus has all the strength that he needs, that he has everything he needs to be faithful, like the disciplined farmer and the dedicated athlete and the focused soldier and the reliable steward. And so he's doing this, and again, this is Paul encouraging Timothy. He's encouraging, he's putting courage in his life by using these examples. But then he breaks off into this section that he starts with, remember. And we need to remember the hero of the gospel. And this will make a profound impact on our life if we'll remember Jesus, the hero of the gospel. Listen to this passage again. It says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And then he says, here's a trustworthy saying, if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. You see, the hero of the gospel is Jesus. We talk about the gospel a lot, and we use this phrase, the gospel and the power of the gospel. We need to always remember that it's not the gospel, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And so we need to remember that the hero of the gospel is Jesus. And as we remember the hero of the gospel is Jesus, we can also understand that Jesus is the source of our strength. And we can remember what Jesus did on our behalf. And we can find great encouragement, even for tough days, in knowing that Jesus has won the battle. He says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. I mean, when we understand what Jesus Christ did for us, when he died on the cross, and that he was placed in that borrowed tomb, and it wasn't long in that borrowed tomb that he rose from the grave, and we can find great encouragement. We belong to him, the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he also mentions here that he was a descendant of David. If you look at the beginning of the book of Matthew, that's the lineage of Jesus, showing how he is part of the lineage of David, and he was the promised Messiah that would come out of Israel that would save the world from their sins. That's our Jesus. That's our Savior. That's who we belong to. Paul goes on to say, this is my gospel. And I want you to think about that just for a second. When Paul says, this is my gospel, What Paul is doing in that phrase is seeing, he's saying Jesus is the hero of the gospel, but that's my gospel too. He's taking ownership of that. That this is the gospel that has been applied to his life. This is the gospel that has changed his life. And this is the gospel that is directing his steps. And I wonder if you've gotten to a place in your life understanding the gospel of Jesus and what Jesus does in your life that you've taken ownership of it. This is something that I possess. This is something that's changing my life. Listen, we need to get to that part where we internalize and we take ownership of the gospel. And when we do that, we can understand that sometimes even the hardships that we go through are for the sake of the gospel, because Paul says here, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is never chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, for the sake of the gospel, that they too may obtain salvation that's in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is saying, I am going through what I'm going through because I have taken ownership of the gospel, and the gospel has changed my life, and the gospel is so important that I'm willing to be chained. I'm willing to be imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. It's interesting to me that Paul was chained to a guard, but he was also chained and tethered to the gospel. The gospel was so much a part of his life that it affected everything that he did. And he also mentions that even though that he's chained and he's in prison, that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is never enchained. It's never stopped from flourishing and from going forward and fulfilling the plan of God. And then the final part of this passage, he says, here's a trustworthy saying. So this would have been a saying that was well known to the reader, that they had heard before. Here's a trustworthy saying. And it's four statements, two positive ones and two negative ones. Let's look at it. It says, if we died with him, if we identify in his death and die to ourselves with him, we will also live with him. It's a promise from God's word. It's a trustworthy saying. If we endure with him, just like he endured, we also will reign with him. That's a promise from God's word. But the negative is also true. If we disown him, he will also disown us. We will have consequences in our life. If we live our life in a way that we are disowning him and the gospel, then he's going to do the same for us. And we're going to feel that in our lives. And if we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And so when we choose to trust ourselves rather than trust what he does, we are straying away from him, but he never strays away from us because he is always faithful. He is perfectly faithful when we fail to be faithful. And so we have a Savior that we can rely on. We have a Savior who gives us strength so that we can find courage for dark and troubled times. Listen, Timothy desperately needed this message of encouragement. His mentor in the faith was imprisoned yet again and was going to be killed for his faith. And he needed to know where he could find strength in Paul's absence. And Paul, listen, one of the striking things to me is Paul is not saying, trust me, rely on me. He was saying, trust Christ, rely on Christ, because at some point, our faith has to be owned by ourselves, not our parents or not our pastor or anyone else. We have to own our own faith, and we have to stand in that faith. And so this act of putting courage in is very strong here, as Paul just breaks into this trustworthy saying to focus on the faithfulness of God. And so as we've looked through this passage of Scripture, I wonder how God has spoken to you here on this Memorial Day weekend. Maybe he's spoken to you about the type of friend that you are. And maybe you're more like Phygellus or Hermogenes, just a fair-weather friend. But listen, Onesiphorus is the model for us, is to go the extra mile for our friends and to not only be that kind of friend, but have those kind of friends in our life. And we need to understand that we need strength for our life, and we need to remember that the source of our strength is Jesus. And he gives us these great examples. And then he just breaks into this beautiful passage about the gospel and the strength of the gospel. Back in our foyer, we have our Lord's Supper table. Some of you have noticed that I move our Lord's Supper table in and out. When we're having the Lord's Supper, it miraculously appears. Not really miraculously, I roll it in here. And we set up the Lord's Supper on it. And then when we're not using it in here, I like to be able to walk straight down here and don't want anything between me and y'all. So I have these steps moved in. But on the Lord's Supper table, it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so something that's interesting, and you can check this out as you exit today, is we have our Pray and Go map of Monticello on the wall. And it's right above the Lord's Supper table. And you can go by that map and you can see where the houses are that we've prayed for. And you can see how our emphasis to go out into our community and to pray for them is beginning to spread all across that map. You can see that. But also on that table that's in the back, again, it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." We put our offering plates on there. And we also have a little display for Who's Your One, where I've challenged each one of us to decide who's your one person that you'll look for opportunities to share gospel conversations with. These are people that you can minister to, that God will use you to minister to, and the commitment is to pray for them and look for ways to invite them to church and look for ways to have these gospel conversations with them. But what's striking to me about this display in the back is the Lord's Supper table. Do this in remembrance of me. And that's right by the Pray and Go stuff, and that's right by the offering plates, and that's right by the Who's Your One. And it really strikes me that when we remember the gospel and when we remember what Jesus did for us, we're going to do some things because we remember. We're going to act a certain way because we remember. We're going to do something like go out into town on hot days and go door to door and pray for people and then hang these door hangers. We're going to look for opportunities for conversation. We're going to take money out of our purses and wallets and accounts and put them in the offering plate for the furtherance of the gospel. We're going to do this, and it's all in remembrance of him. And it's just striking to me that it's right there on the table. Do this in remembrance of me. And of course, that's on that table because we serve the Lord's Supper off of that table, where Jesus says, when you partake of the supper, do it in remembrance of me. You see, when we remember the great price that was paid for our freedom here on Memorial Day weekend, it changes us. It wells up patriotism. It wells up in us what we can do for our country and a desire to be the best citizens that we can be because we remember the high price that was paid for us when those soldiers did not return home but lost their lives so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we have. It changes us. And when we remember the gospel of Jesus Christ and the true hero of the gospel, Jesus, and we remember and we take ownership of that, it changes us. And it makes us live a different way. It makes us different type of friends. It makes us focus our attention, and it gives us courage for the days that are ahead. Aren't you thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the difference that it makes in our life when we remember? And so it all boils down to this. We need to remember the great price that was paid for us to enjoy the freedom that we have, and the great price that was paid for us so that we could become sons and daughters of the King. And so we're going to have a moment of invitation, and I'm not sure how God has spoken to you. I feel like he's had the opportunity to speak to you. And so during this time, it may be that you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've never internalized that. You've never received the gift of eternal life. Maybe this morning would be your morning. Or maybe you've been attending here for a time and you'd like to join our church, we had Kenny that came down and joined our church last week. And it's always great to be a part of what God's doing in a local church like ours. Maybe this will be a time that you need to just bow your heads and pray and spend time with God. But we have plenty of time right now. And I want you to know that this is time that you can do business with God. So would you please stand? Myron's going to play through just instrumentally one time through for us to do whatever we need to do. And then we're going to close our service with singing. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And we thank you for your Son. And we thank you for the hope of the gospel alive and at work in our lives. Father, we also thank you for the brave men and women who gave their all so that we could have the freedoms that we enjoy. So, Father, in these moments of invitation, I pray that you would move in power. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.